This is Red Ice Radio, a beacon of sanity from Northern Europe. RedIceCreations.com.
You are listening to Red Ice Radio. It's good to be able to talk to you once again, or maybe you are tuning in for the first time. Welcome, my name is Henrik, and we are coming to you from Sweden. This is the program where we focus on mysteries, lost knowledge, new discoveries, and everything that really matters. Wherever you are, you can reach us worldwide through our website, RedIceCreations.com. We do regular broadcasts. We have well over 500 programs in our archive now, and we also have videos, films, TV programs, webcasts, audio commentary, and much more on the website that you can enjoy. Today, finally, after much delay, we are going to get to our program with Carl Munk. This was recorded a while ago now, and from the road as well. We've been waiting to get it edited and processed since we didn't have the best phone line when it was recorded, but I think that you'll find this program interesting even if you're familiar with his work or not, as Carl will share some new aspects to his work and also how it all got started. Carl has created the science of archaeocryptography, a study of the underlying mathematical order beneath the proportions, size, and placement of the world's sacred sites. Carl claims there is incontrovertible evidence of precise global positioning thousands of years ago, requiring space-age technologies and satellite triangulation. So the question is, how was it all done? His website, pyramidmatrix.com, provides introductory examples of how ancient monuments encode their positions into the matrix. Stay with us, much more to come. All right, everybody, welcome. We are having a really exciting program here today together with Carl Munk. I haven't heard from Carl in quite a while. I haven't seen him actually on some of the other radio programs out there either. So this is kind of a semi of an exclusive here, if you will. We recently obviously linked up some of Carl's work pertaining to his DVD or film, the Code, the documentary. So this is going to be really exciting. First of all, welcome to the program, Carl. How are you today?
Fine.
It's good to.
How can I help Red Ice?
Well, you can help us by talking a little bit about your work, of course. It would be great to hear more about it. I think that many of our listeners would be interested to hear a little bit about it, since we've been covering the issue of megalithic sites and their relationship for years on the program right now. So maybe you can just tell us a little bit about your background, Carl, and how you got into the aspect or the work pertaining to the Code, Carl.
The megalithic sites. All of them, pyramids, great earthworks, stone circles, if they're geometric in form, they are not ours. Never were. They belong to the gods.
And what more can you say about that, Carl? I mean, who are the gods, and how did you come to this this conclusion, Carl?
Well, I'm not sure who they are, but I have rode with them. They took me to Nazca in Peru one night about 20 years ago and filled me in with all the details. They taught me their math. I can read Nazca now like most people can read a newspaper. That was quite a shock.
What more can you say about this? Who were they? Are we talking about aliens? So what are you talking about here, Carl?
They're aliens. They're aliens. That was one night back in 82. I went to Nazca one night for a briefing, or a college education, whatever you want to call it.
All right.
That was 5,000 miles down and 5,000 miles back. And they did it all in about an hour and a half. I was not aware of it until I was at Peru. I remember all of Peru, but I was not aware of the trip until about 10 years ago when my granddaughters, who were staying at the house overnight, that particular night, watched the event. it so scared them they wouldn't talk about it. We just now talk about it to their mother.
And did they just realize this, or was this a memory from them that suddenly came to them, or how did this unfold?
It was their memory. The night I was abducted, they were awakened by a bright, very bright light in the room. Got up, ran to the window, and there I was out there talking to a couple of aliens. It hit me just as hard as it hit them.
I bet. So what did they teach you, and did they tell you why they wanted to teach you the things they did?
No, they did not. The only thing I can assume is they wanted me to get this word out so that people would know that we are not alone.
And what more can you say about the megalithic sites, then, Carl? We obviously want to touch upon some of the basics, if you will, in terms of the relationship between them, and also, of course, if they were built by the same people that you claim were, you know, basically taking you down to the Nazca lines. Is that the case here?
They were built by us. We were the forced labor. But the mathematics involved with it, with all of it, was quite high, well beyond us. I'm just now figuring it out.
Well, you've been doing this kind of work for years, Carl.
35
years, that's right. And obviously, was it this experience then that you shared with us that was the background to this, or were your interest there before that time?
No interest at all prior to that. I was a happy railroader. I was happy with my work. I loved my work. But then the railroad died. And I got my trip.
All right.
Somebody had this all planned. And it wasn't me.
So what more can you say about the code, Carl, in terms of what you have found?
How many do you want? There's thousands of pyramids out there.
I know, but what we're trying to get to here, obviously, is kind of a, if you will, you know, an overarching idea, you know, for our listeners that might not be familiar with your work, as a way to introduce them to what you've been looking at, you know. So maybe some of the highlights, that would be an easy, you know, place to start, maybe.
Okay, these geometric artifacts turn out to be navigational aids for alien pilots. For example, the new pyramid they just uncovered in Bosnia, 720 feet high, the Pyramid of the Sun, has a slope angle on it of 43.8 degrees. It is located on our Earth at 43.8 degrees north. It is 20 seconds of latitude wide, 20 seconds of longitude wide. I have dozens of other pyramids that fall into the same category. They're not 20 seconds wide. They can be anywhere from 4 seconds to 10 seconds, 20 seconds. Monk's Mound here in Cahokia in Illinois is 10 seconds wide. It's very well organized. This way, as they come in from space to this world, which could be unknown to them, but they have this mathematical mapping system. Apparently, it's universal. And they use universal math to show anybody where they are. Ship drops in from the atmosphere and starts looking around. Where are we? Where are we? They have no idea where the equator is, where the pole is, except what their instruments tell them. They come across this pyramid, and they can see from its width and its distance from north to south exactly what latitude they're over. The Zoster's Pyramid in Egypt is another example. 411 feet long from north to south, 358 feet long from east to west. square seconds in each direction. You fall in over Nazca. Oh, that's another story. Nazca's more of a mapping system than anything else. But Mannequin was close to it, and he came up with the idea that it's a landing field, it's an airfield. Well, it was, but more mapping system than anything else. To get into Nazca, that would require visual aids, unless people are quite familiar with it.
Yeah, that's right. That could be a little bit tricky, obviously, yeah. But we can relay people further. You know, there's material online, of course, and you have your own website, pyramidmatrix.com, yeah. Where you have some of this material collected.
But that involves the pyramids, which I've been researching all these years. It's the data I've pulled off from all the pyramids. The alien connection is something rather new. Since my daughter started talking, then I could, or my granddaughter's rather, then I could see a little deeper into it. I'm quite scary sometimes.
That's an interesting story, obviously, Carl, and this seems to be recent, obviously, in terms of your work, at least when I saw your presentation on the code. This is not an area that you were going into, but maybe you weren't aware of it at the time. Is that correct?
Well, it was not. Absolutely was not. But it seems to me like I was programmed to it. I had no interest in the subject at all, but, oh, God asked to do it. Most of the stuff I have is North American, South American, Central American. A little bit from England. I don't have much from Europe. Nothing from Asia. I'm aware of the Chinese pyramids, but you can't get information on the damn things. I've tried everything, including their embassy. And they won't talk. They don't say anything about it.
Yeah, they seem to be kind of hush-hush. But they are, allegedly, they have some pretty big pyramids over there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, they got some giants. But Hartwig Hausdorff, a German fellow who was over there, managed to get some photographs some years back. And he advised that their missile bases are up there. And they don't want anybody to know anything about them. Which could be a good example of why it's so hush-hush.
Yeah, that's true. So have you been to many of these locations yourself, Carl, that you're detailing? Obviously in North America, I would guess that you visited some of them, but how about South America? Have you been down there yourself?
No, not in this life. But North America, I've been to Monk's Mound, I've been to mounds in New York State, West Virginia, but nowhere else. There's too many of them.
There are quite a bit. There are quite a few, obviously, as we know. There are thousands. There are some great resources online that are detailing many of the megalithic sites around the world at this point. Do you think, and I've asked a previous guest this, Carl, do you think that they're all related to each other? Are they all pertinent to this mathematical code or this the matrix that you're talking about?
Oh, yes. I've found one so far that is not. The rest of them all are. You're part of this awesome system.
And which one is that?
The closest one to me right now is a little one in Oklahoma called Spiro Mound, S-P-I-R-O. They opened it up two or three decades ago, I guess. Found 2,500 human remains in it. And the thing has a slope angle of 35 degrees. It is at 35 degrees north. So it's an old pattern. They've been using it for a long time. If we go to the Bosnian pyramid, they have carbon dates on that thing now to go back to 33,000 years. That's a long, long time.
Yeah. We had the organizer behind the project of excavating the pyramids in Bosnia with us before on the program as well, Carl, so our listeners will be familiar
with it. Oh, you've had Sam there already, huh?
That's right, that's right. Really interesting work that he's been doing, of course, and I guess that there would be even more sites around the world which we haven't even yet discovered yet. There might be several in the likes of this one that is found in Bosnia, I think.
Thousands of them. Thousands of them. I have one of my files called Landsat, L-A-N-D-S-A-T, named after the satellite that found it. One of our mapping satellites from the 60s. Went over Peru, all about, where was it, about 12 or 13 degrees south. In the jungle, they found a group of pyramids sitting there in the bush, 12 of them. And nobody knows anything about them. They sent a few parties in there to examine them, and they never came back. I guess they became part of the ecology. We know nothing about them, but they're there. I've also been after a pyramid called Malchingui up in Ecuador near the equator. Nobody knows anything about it, but I've seen pictures of it. I've read a book by the fellow who found it. It's there. Nobody's got to it. Well, as he explained in his book, it took him 4 days of walking to get to it. There's no roads or anything.
Right, right. And in some of these locations, you can't just go in there with a helicopter or anything like that because there's nowhere to land or you know,
that's right.
Place down.
That's
yeah?
right. Yeah.
So do you put any trust in satellite imagery? I know that many new pyramids were found underneath the bed of the sand with the aid of... and that might actually have been the Landsat one as well, that satellite that was covering, you know, it's searching the geology of the planet. So there is a ways to discover them, although they're, you know... Under the ground, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can be anywhere. They've got a, what is it called? The so-called Temple of Isis, ISIS, down in the Grand Canyon of Arizona. They found it back in the 20s, maybe a bit earlier. Some early explorers uncovered it. They came back with tales of great hordes of Egyptian gold and gems and masks and models, kind of thing you'd find in Egypt. They went back to find it a few years later, and somebody had sealed the cave. In it were 33 tombs arranged in different parallel lines, and it is at 33 degrees north. So they undoubtedly can see underground.
There's many ancient sites in North America alone, I know. Places like Poverty Point. There's a lot of mounds up in the Ohio area as well.
10,000 of them.
Do you think that these are... Or were these built by the Native Americans, or were there another people before that?
Well, I'm sure they were. You're not going to get a highly intelligent god and a UFO to come in and start scraping dirt. It's not going to happen. They'll have us do it, I'm sure.
Yeah. And so were we... we've talked about this with other guests, Carl, on the program before, but why did they want to use humanity, or does it go further than that? Were they actually behind the creation of mankind, even for that purpose of having us as a kind of a slave race, if you will?
I have no doubt of it. No information, but I have no doubt. It all seems to fit together. We have no memories of any of it. We don't know who built any of the pyramids anywhere. All we have are rumors and thoughts. And I think that would be a perfect way to do it. If you're going to come and explore a planet and you want to mark it for mapping, you're not going to use your resources. You'll find someone else's. You'll hire the local help. One of the drawings of Nazca is that of a monkey. You familiar with it?
I've seen that one, yeah.
Okay. He stretched out his hands out in front of him on what looks like a platform or something. And there are three triangles on it, which could be pyramids. Using his hands, he built the pyramids. They may have it all mapped out for anyone who comes by.
It's quite elaborate, though, isn't it, Carl, for them to construct a global network of these sites when you think if they had the technology to come here, they could simply just map the continents the same way we do, or navigate with the magnetic field of north and south, right?
Well, they had more in mind than just mapping. If you're familiar with the Great Triangle with Nazca, the one that's the eastern side of the Pampa down there, there's a Great Triangle that points over toward Giza, has seven parallel lines coming out of it to the east.
Mm-hmm.
And they all stop at an eighth line that's horizontal. Those seven lines are timelines which show the distance from Nazca to the prime meridian, which once ran, well, it still does run down across Giza, and down across Zimbabwe and South Africa. Gold reserves, the big gold reserves. Nazca, Zimbabwe, South Africa. They've been mining these sites now. Well, what was it here? Peru, they say it's 100,000 years in the sacking of gold down there. 40,000 years in Zimbabwe, 50,000 years in South Africa. So this can go on quite a while. Somebody's been here cleaning us out for longer than we knew what gold was.
Mm-hmm.
If we'd had any knowledge of it, how easily it worked, we would have found some Clovis points to shine. Instead, they're still stone and flint.
So that's where all mankind's gold have been going since it's been robbed from us lately, it seems.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So what do they need the gold for? Do you know, Carl?
That I couldn't tell you. There was a physicist on TV here the other night on the History Channel who was saying it has some value in space against ultraviolet rays. They may wind their ship with it, for all we know. But there may be some truth to one of the rumors that the streets of heaven are paved in gold. We may have an answer for that.
Well, that's an interesting idea. So I don't know if we can put the terms, you know, benevolent or malevolent on these, you know, creatures. But obviously they're depleting our planet from resources. Then are we talking about the same people, Carl, that gave you your experience? Is this the same creatures that are taking our gold?
I don't think so. Those that talk to me have been remarkably accurate with their work. Their math is flawless. I don't think they're a malevolent at all. To me, the whole thing sounds like the Ezekiel tale in the Bible. Came down, scared the pants off you, talked to you for a while, and took you for a ride somewhere. It's the same scenario all over again. It's been going on who knows for how long. We're still taking people from here. Of course, most of us are medical experiments. That's probably the malevolent type.
Was this the nature of what you experienced as well, or were they just interested in showing you a little bit of the tidbits of their system, Carl?
They just wanted me to learn the math. The crash course in a math we've never been involved with is called, well, I call it base 360 math. We like base 10, base 8, stuff like that. But theirs is all base 360. Everything is oriented around the circle, the sphere, which are, of course, 360 degrees in arc. Always. And the pieces all come together from there.
Tell us a little bit more about the base 360 math. Okay. How does it work, Carl?
Okay, a circle, an ordinary circle on the ground, like Stonehenge, for instance, can be mapped either using 360 as a source number or 10,331, which would be in square degrees, the area of a circle. From there you go to the hemisphere, like the Cuicuilco Mountain in Mexico. Large hemispheric type structure. Nobody knows anything about it. But it sits on a map and a set of coordinates, well, of latitude, for instance. 19 degrees, 18 minutes, and 1.05 seconds. Those three numbers will multiply to 360. That's the circular structure. Its longitude will multiply numbers up to 10313, the area of its surface. That's that particular pattern. They find them. I find them all over the earth.
Would the Henges be an expression of this? The obviously Stonehenge in UK, but there's other Henges around the world too. Are are they in line with this, the 360 math?
I haven't got enough information on them to talk about them. Getting maps of foreign countries or sites around here from the U.S. is impossible. Nobody's got them. You can't buy them in country. You've got to just about go to the country and get them over there. That's how I got most of my foreign maps. Nazca, England, spies. They bring them back, tourists bring them back. You can buy them in most of those countries, except China, Egypt. They're kind of tough to come by over there.
Well, are you online or anything? Are you on the internet, Carl?
I'm not. No, I have a website out in Washington State that one of our members has set up for us a long time ago. I think you're already familiar with that one.
Yeah, I am. The reason why I'm asking, obviously, is because there's some great tools these days, Carl, online that you can use to obviously different places over other, you know, countries or continents, like Google Earth. But there's other tools out there as well where you can get a real detailed view. And I would guess then that those who are behind the copyright of those particular maps have edited out whatever they are not interested of showing the public. But nonetheless, if one wants to see old megalithic sites, they're a great tool if you want to use that.
Yeah, I know. I have a relative nearby who has a computer. Once in a while, we'll go there and I'll dig around and see what's out there. Always come home with an armful.
There's so much material out there, obviously, pertaining to geomancy and measuring and all the rest, yes.
Oh, yes, much. Yeah.
So what are some of the most startling, you know, discoveries that you've made? I know it's difficult maybe to nail it down, and today you might be interested in different things than you were 30 years ago when you were researching, but maybe we can talk about some of the highlights, some of the high points in terms of what you discovered and certain things that have come to you during the time of your work.
I like Tikal in Guatemala. We had no idea what it was all about. We think the Mayans built it. But the math there is incredible. Very complex. These people not only knew our math, they worked with tangents, reciprocals. Just about most of the math we don't even think about too much. We're aware of it, but we don't think about it. We don't use it. Like base 360, that was unknown. But it is quite talkative once you see how it works.
Is this pertaining to the monuments in this location? Tell us the name again and spell it for us if you can, Carl. Pakal.
Tikal?
Yeah.
T-I-K-A-L. It's in Guatemala.
Tikal, got you. Okay, yep.
Tikal, yeah. Five pyramids there. Three of them face east, two of them face west, one of them faces north. And I call that the prophecy site for the simple reason that to the west, Tikal is at 17 degrees north. If you go 17 degrees west of it, you're in the Ring of Fire out in the Pacific, the earthquake zone. If you go 17 degrees east of it. Here in Port-au-Prince, where they had the big earthquake here a couple of years ago. If you go 17 degrees north of it, that is 3-4 degrees. You're in New Madrid, the Mississippi River. The pyramid looks right north, straight up the Mississippi River, right across New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Where Katrina likes to visit.
Right.
It's telling us things about the future, which would correspond with certain elements in the past. There's a lot more of this work in these pyramids.
Is there energy involved?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Natural. Or manipulated. I'm not sure which. But there are certain patterns in geology which don't make any sense to anyone unless you apply the math, and it's very simple. For example, the zodiac involves 12 different signs. Each of them run 2,160 years before you slip into the next one, which is another 2,160, and so on. Every two of these cycles, that's 4,320, 4,320 years, we go through Earth changes on this planet. One of them, if you care to check it out, it's easy enough bound, is Noah's Flood, 4,300 years ago, from right now. Also, 4,320 years ago, was the Chinese Flood, recorded by the Chinese in their great cyclopedia. Noah's Flood lasted a year. Chinese Flood lasted 152 years. I think we're in such a period right now. We're getting plenty of it. And at that same time, 4,300 years ago, our own geologists have found that New Madrid went nuts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it all falls right into that zone, 4,320 years. 4,300 years earlier, in your own country, they found evidence of a polar shift, where the North Pole moved back up from the South Pole to its present position.
Mm-hmm.
4,300 years before that was the demise of Atlantis, 12,900 years ago.
And that's like a half point from the whole zodiacal, the great year, if you will, of approximately 26,000 years, or 24,000 years, yeah.
Yeah, they're split into six elements, six segments, like a clock. To go back further than that is rather difficult. We don't have anything. Nothing survived, apparently, except the Mayans. Speaking of their, what they call suns, periods of humanity until destruction, then a new one began, it died, and a new one began. Prior to that, the only thing we have is the psychics, like Edgar Cayce, who spoke of about three of them, I think, back to 52,000 years. And in the geology, we have the earliest one I've been able to track, and that would be the Toba volcano in Indonesia. It blew up, just about cleaned out everything on the planet. That's right in there, and that's exactly three cycles ago, full cycles,
mm-hmm.
the zodiac. So this is a constant thing. It's ongoing. I don't know whether the gods have something to do with it, or whether this is something built into nature.
Like a reboot. The system is cleaning itself out.
Right.
Right.
Exactly, yeah.
But are there any precursors to this, do you think, Carl? Because we've seen some interesting activity around the world, obviously in the last few years, but even in the last few months in the States with a earthquake today at the time of this recording in Oklahoma. Earlier we saw one that was felt in Washington. These are pretty rare events.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the one in Oklahoma is the worst we've ever had. Yeah. I didn't feel it here in Idaho. Of course, we're a good 1,000 miles away.
Yeah.
But it reached across the Mississippi into Tennessee, which is the New Madrid zone. We heard on our local Coast to Coast program here About a month ago. I was listening to it one night. They had a fellow call in from Arkansas. He says, we're getting earthquakes down here daily now. I spent a few years in Arkansas. I never felt a single earthquake all the time I was there. So something's getting ready to happen along that zone. I think Pyramid 5 at Tikal is trying to tell us something.
Tell us more about that. You talked about timelines, and how does the pyramids at Tikal, what do they have to do with this?
I think they show us the zones, the earthquake faults from the Ring of Fire in the Pacific to the incident there in Haiti and up to our New Madrid site in Missouri. It seems to be all mapped out. I don't see anything south of it. Of course, that's out in the Pacific. I don't know about that yet. There's too much of it I don't know. I just...
Right.
Well, it's off the pyramid thing. I'm not looking at it really. I'm always seeking data from the pyramids.
But you mentioned the lines at Nazca being pertinent to timelines as well. These eight.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Is that mapping time in terms of future, or is it mapping time in terms of past?
Hours.
Humanity's
seven,
time.
7 lines, 7 hours. You know, every 15 degrees of longitude is 1 hour of time.
Right, right.
There were 7 of those units between Africa and Nazca. I'm talking East Africa, way over there in Zimbabwe. But that was easy, because that triangle is a geometric. I can read them, no trouble. The birds and whales down there, I haven't got them together yet. I don't know what you're trying to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
But I am looking for more geometrics. I know of a couple down there. I've seen photos, but I can't find them on the map. So they're still a loss.
Okay. When you say birds and whales, are you talking about the stranding of whales and the recent weird anomalies we had with the birds in early 2010, or was it 11, with all the birds coming down, falling from the sky, right?
Yeah, in Arkansas, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that could be anything. Who knows what it is. I personally think it has something to do with our chemtrails we're seeing all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
The ones, I don't know if you've heard about it. Seen any pictures? They got websites that show them.
That's
I took
right.
pictures of them out here myself.
Mm-hmm.
They're like contrails. They'll fool you if you don't know what you're looking at. Contrails occur at 30,000 feet and up. They're way up there. That's where the commercial airliners fly. Military flies at 40,000 feet. And these things occur about 8,000 to 9,000, 10,000 feet down where contrails cannot form. But they look like contrails. Except if you look at them at an angle like, 45 degrees. You'll see they're falling. They're coming down in big blobs toward the earth. Somebody's gassing us, I guess. I don't know whether it's any good. I don't know if it's good news or bad news, but nobody talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what it is? Could be aliens. I have no idea. Though people have seen commercial, what look like commercial airliners dumping these things on us. They don't stay up there very long. They come down.
Some people speculate, Carl, that it's related to weather modification, which would potentially tie into this idea that then they can actually create even earthquakes with, technologies,
yeah.
Basically, you know, very low frequency.
I don't know if I trust any of it. The government's doing it. Who knows what it is? If they were proud of it, they'd tell us about it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They would be bragging about it, huh? But now it's hush-hush,
right.
And there's a lot of secret programs running around
right.
the world, you know? How, if we try to tie it back, you know, back to your work again, then, I guess I'd like to ask you a little bit about what you see that the plan overarching is here in terms of if we're getting... Are these the math that you mentioned into call, for instance, is it designed and incorporated into that for... as a warning system? Are we meant to realize and decode this math, or why is it there, do you think?
It wasn't meant for us. We can't decode it. That's just me. What I was shown, I hadn't decoded. I have no idea what they use this for.
Okay. And are we ever going to get past this idea that most of these pyramids and other sites that we see are tombs? I mean, if we look at Tikal, they talk that this is where Palenque was, you know, the lid of Palenque, one of the deities there, was put to rest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What's his name? Powell something or other.
I think it was Pakal, simply.
Pakal, there you go. Yeah. You know, the guy that sits in a spaceship. I don't doubt that's right.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt. But there's so much more to learn.
But it seems that when you look at the lid of Palenque, you know, and the ancient astronaut theories, it looks like he's in the using a rocket, right? When you look at the lid. Is that the propulsion system they would use, though, rockets, or is this just mankind that has been depicting this later as a way of trying to describe, you know, what they saw?
How would they even know how to describe it? They never saw any rockets, unless they were looking at his. You know what they used. Unless they themselves developed rocket engines after you've been here a while. But we never heard of them either. The Maya had roads all over down there, but they never used the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Well, so we hear.
Yeah, so we hear. Oh, golly. Yeah.
Where's this going? What is it telling us, do you think, Carl? I mean,
I have no idea.
You have no idea. You're still searching for the answers, huh?
I'm still looking, yeah.
And the more you thought you know at one point, have you been any wiser, or have you just consequently gotten more and more questions the more you look into this?
I get more answers than I do questions. Of course, you look at this strange stuff often enough, and it generates answers, there's no doubt about it, because you're looking at an intellect far higher than ours. The more I get into this stuff, the more I think I'm slipping back to ancient apes. I don't know, maybe I'm Australopithecus and I'm not aware of it. But some of the stuff is really out there.
What do you think everything of this has to do with? I mean, if we look at the allure of the Maya people and the ending of the Mayan calendar, I know that this is interpreted in most cases by, you know, minds from the West, obviously, and we hear different stories that this is not accurate and blah, blah, blah. But,
right.
You know, apparently we have an ending coming up in 2012. Some people have interacted 2011. But is it tied in with that?
I have no doubt. No doubt at all. I found a crab glyph in England near Silbury Mound here about a year ago.
Yeah.
It's what they call the Quetzalcoatl glyph. It's a feathered creature of some sort inside a circle. And by looking at its latitude and longitude, it's a perfect match for Quetzalcoatl's pyramid at Teotihuacan in Mexico. I don't know what it's talking about.
Okay.
Unless it's the return of Quetzalcoatl himself in November of 2012. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Okay. Well, with this, the crab glyph, was this a crop circle?
Yeah.
Right. So that's tied into this phenomenon as well. Is that also part of the master code, if you will?
Well, the math works exactly the same. Base 360. I think it's these crop glyphs are just like a newspaper bulletin board to other aliens, showing them what's going on, what's about to go on. There's a lot to this.
And you're certain at this point that this has nothing to do with the human hands or humans being behind this? No?
No, that's just an easy out for the media. They'll get rid of this stuff any way they can. If they can't find an answer or a news item, they'll create one.
That's true.
Yeah. I've found certain of these crap glyphs I can read. just as easy as I read the pyramids. Others make no sense to me at all. They're apparently messages for someone else, maybe not us.
Well, could they be man-made? This has been one of the argumentation points, you know, that...
No.
No? Okay.
No, someone who made the Quetzalcoatl with would have to have known exactly where the Quetzalcoatl pyramid is at Teotihuacan in order to match its position. No, they're not man-made. There's always some nut out there who's willing to try, but the math doesn't map.
Tell us a bit of how you correlate then a crop circle with a site, for instance. How does that happen? Is it a measurement of the whole thing of the ratio, or how do you even begin decoding a crop template then, or a crop circle?
Well, you always start with 360 if it's a circle. Work down from there. You can find any number of things. Usually, it's the broad numbers. For instance, 25, 9, 20, which is your zodiac. Or 360, or 2160, which is one cycle of the zodiac. They'll usually answer to one of them.
Okay.
Beyond that, I'm not going to say any more because that might be a personal mail system to me. I don't want to give it away.
Okay. Why do you think that you were taught this math? Is it to pass it on further to other people, or is it for your...
Definitely. Yep, I have to pass it on.
Okay.
It wouldn't do me any good anyway, because I'm aware of the gods.
Well, that's good then. Here's your shot, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Get it out there, Carl. We're listening.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, I've been on the air before. They had who was that girl out here in Washington? Laura Lee, some years ago. She had a radio show. And I was on that several times. This has been going on for a long time.
Okay. Yeah.
Of course, she didn't know about the aliens. She heard about pyramids, and that's all.
Okay.
There's a lot to learn.
Is there any other favorite sites of yours around the world that you've been really intrigued with, or maybe places you would like to visit just to see and measure some of the things for yourself?
There's a lot of them I'd like to measure myself. Cholula in Mexico, for instance, in mapping that wall, trying to map it. Decades ago, I found it mentioned in many books, and every one of them had differing dimensions, so you don't know what they're talking about. You don't know if they can read a measurement. You don't know if they took it. Maybe they estimated the measurement. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I can't work with slop like that. I have to know exact.
Right, you have to kind of do it yourself, yeah?
Yeah, I tend to rely on guys like Talbert Mallard, who was a fellow who excavated Tikal. He was, well, as he said in his own field work, exact measurements. Those I can work with. The measurements are not so important as the maps are. They used our measurements. They used our 12-inch foot. They used our 5,280-foot mile. They did not use the metric system like archaeology decrees.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And the reason for that is they had all those measurements, their measurements, tied to tangents. For example, 5,280 has a tangent of 1.73, which is a square root of 3. The 60 degrees in a minute of time,
yep,
or mapping, has the same tangent.
Interesting. So do you think that this is this what our system is based on? Is that where we got
it from? I think that's where we got it from.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's where it came from. And, of course, we've been trying to change it ever since. We're like the Greeks, and like couldn't keep the pulse or anything else handy. They change it. I'll always change it. Keep it moving.
Yeah.
But these measurements are pretty tight. Pretty tight. They're based on tangents. Tangents, 93 million miles to the moon has a tangent of 1.73. 366 million miles to Jupiter has a tangent of 1.73. The speed of the comet that slammed into Jupiter a few years ago has a tangent of 1.73. It's like the whole universe is tied together with mapped tangents. the 30,000 light-year distance to the center of our galaxy has a tangent of 1.73. Somebody organized this. It was not a big bang. This was well thought out.
Interesting. I mean, do you think that our solar system have been constructed on these ratios, on these numbers, then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There are 10 different tangents involved. 1.73 is the most popular, but I've got others involved, too, that show the distance to all the planets, their orbit speeds, their escape velocities, all of it. It's all tied to tangents.
And for, like, a math, you know, doofus like me, how do you calculate the tangents, then?
Calculator.
How do you go from 1.73 and then finding and reaching a larger number from that? Do you add them together?
You don't go from the tangent. You go from the known distance.
Yeah.
93 million miles to the sun. It'll have a tangent of 1.73. The escape velocity from the Earth, 67,000 miles. What is it, per minute? I don't remember now. Has a tangent of 1.73. The orbit speed of the Earth around the sun has a tangent of 1.73. It just goes on and on and on and on. Like God figured all this out before he turned the lights on. He knew exactly what he wanted. It's most fascinating.
If a system is scalable in terms of the energy that is going into it, then you would have planetary bodies and you know, going from a macro scale to a micro scale, you would have planetary bodies aligning themselves according to a ratio, because this is the best and proper way that they would have balance, if you will, that the system is trying to reach a balance point, basically.
Completely sustainable. No doubt about it. But this tangent thing is new. I still haven't gotten into that to look deeper.
Okay.
I just keep printing out, and I can get the same numbers, and someday I'll get into that. I'm still up to my ears in pyramids.
We are going to take a short pause here, and when we return with more in the next hour for members together with Carl Munk, we will proceed to discuss ratios related to the Great Pyramid at Giza, the monuments on Mars, Base 360 Math, 2012, Time Compression, the Fifth Sun, and we will also get into more detail about his alien abduction experience, his trip to Nazca that started it all. Go to pyramidmatrix.com, Carl's website, to find out more. Take a look at his DVD, The Code, for a very good overview of his work. To continue listening to the next hour, go to redicecreations.com, our website, and log in or subscribe to get access to this or any of our previous programs. Next on Red Ice Radio, we have Laird Scranton, David Icke, Robert Schock, Håkan Blomqvist, Dean Clifford, Marty Leeds, Desiree and JJ Hertak, Mike Cross, and Louise Turi. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you more after the break.
Your ethos, your pathos, your portos, your elements, your piccolo, your writing code.
You are hopeless. Your hopelessness is rising around you, rising around you.
You like it. It gives you something to do in the daytime.
Hey, buddy. You need a hobby. You are tired of
moving forward.
You think of the future and secretly you fiddle your pants. The puddle of fiddle, which used to be little, is
rising around you, rising around you.
You like it. It gives you
there's something to do in the nighttime.
Oh, well, you travel to bars. You also go to Winchell's Donut and hang out with a highway patrol. Sometimes you'll go to a pizza place. You go to Shakey's to get that American kind of pizza that has the ugly, waxy, fake yellow kind of cheese on the top. Maybe you go to Straw Hat Pizza to get all those artificial ingredients that never belonged on a pizza in the first place, but the white people really like it. Oh well, you'll go any place, you'll do anything. Oh, you'll give me your underpants. I hope these aren't yours, buddy. They're very nice, though. You go to Santa Monica Boulevard. You go to the Blue Parrot. No problem, you'll go any place, you'll do anything, just so you can hang out with the others. The others. Just like you. Afraid of the future. Death Valley Days, straight ahead. The future is scary.
Yes, it sure is.
Well, the puddle is rising. It smells like the ocean. A body of water to isolate England. And also Reseda. The oil in patches all over Atlantis. Atlantis, you remember Atlantis? Donovan, the guy with a brocade coat, used to sing to you about Atlantis. You loved it, you were so involved in. That's back in the days when you used to smoke a banana. You would scrape the stuff off the middle, you would bake it, you would smoke it. You even thought you was getting ripped from it. No problem. What?
Atlantis! They could really get down there.
The plankton, the krill, the giant underwater pyramid, the squid decor, excuse me, Todd, the big old giant underwater door, the dome, the bubbles, the blue light. The rubbers, the napkins, your ethos, your portos, your flagpole, your porthole, your language, your frightened, the future, your language.
You can't even speak your own fucking language.
You can't read it anymore. You can't write it anymore. Your language, the future of your language, your meatloaf.
Don't let your meatloaf.
Your micro-nation.